And we're back. Don Brown Connect filling in for Matt Flynn Direct. Kate Mila Falcha, Irish for 100,000 welcomes as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day week here in the Shaw. And that was Black 47 with the funky Kay Lee. And Sam, our producer, born and bred here in Waukesha, was also born to play the funky Kay Lee. Her dad, who I've yet to meet, is a huge Pogues fan like myself. And we'll be reaching out to him about one of my pipe dreams to form a Pogues cover band called the Lonesome Corncrakes. And we'll be having auditions here at the Walk Radio Studios at 217 Wisconsin Avenue. So we're hoping, you know, Sam's got to get her dad out and then any other musicians and lovers of the great Pogues band. And who knows, maybe we'll get a gig or even crash a gig at Friday Night Live this summer. How fun would that be? So anyway, back to the real world. With the elections coming up too, I've been remiss in talking about, we have some county elections here in District 10. My predecessor as Alderman Emeritus Terry Thieme, is running for the County Supervisor District 10 spot. And Terry reached out to me the other day and was proud to, he asked me if he could put a sign in my front yard, and happy to do that. Terry served on the Waukesha Police Force, so I believe 30 years, and then served as our alderman for, I believe, a period of like 13 years, and has left quite a legacy here in this town and wants to continue to serve you in a capacity as your county supervisor representing District 10. So check Terry out. And then in District 17, Bob Salb, spouse of mayoral challenger candidate Lisa Salb, both the denizens there at the historic Hall House. Bob is running in District 17 against Brian Meyer. So those are some elections to look out for if you live in those areas. Please pay close attention. And any questions to, you know, call the clerk's office if you're not sure what county district you live in or what aldermanic district you live in, especially with the redistricting. And there's some great information, too, on the City of Waukesha's website. You can actually look at each legislature and find the map. I believe there's a function either on the city website or on a related website where you put your address in, and they show you what district or what ward you're in and what precinct you go to vote in. So in my old district, the original District 1, the people in that district still go to the Elks Lodge there in Springdale to cast your vote. If you live on the other side of Predominant Park, where I do, I guess west of Predominant Park, you're beginning at the other side of, you know, I guess the west side of Butler, you'll be voting now at City Hall, which, you know, very nice accommodations. I voted there in the February primaries, and urge you all to check that out. And there is also a very important school board election coming up, and I'll be supporting, proud to be supporting candidates Baumgart, Dietz, and Harrison, challenger Sarah Harrison, and incumbents Baumgart and Dietz. And so I read an interesting article yesterday, wanted to share about that I found in the New Yorker about, because as we know, school board elections have become a big problem throughout the country, a lot of infiltration from certain elements that believe that a certain type of education should be, should only be taught to our children. And the title of the article is, there's a rock in a hard place, and then there's a classroom. And reporter Jill Lepore traces the battle over what gets taught in public schools back to the trial in 1925 of John T. Scopes for the crime of teaching evolution in a high school biology class. A century later, in the wake of the murder of George Floyd and the emergence of the Black Lives Matter movement, a new outcry in schools has arisen over how to teach American history. One side are administrators instituting anti-racist curricula. On the other, what might be called anti-racism measures. But neither clash has been entirely about biology or history. Both conflicts, Lepore notes, following a global pandemic and fights over public education, have pitted the rights of parents against the power of the state, and students and teachers are the ones trapped in the middle. And with this week being St. Patrick's Day week, I know from my knowledge and my experience of Irish history, which I basically had to teach to myself although I did take some graduate courses in Loyola about it, is Loyola in Chicago. You know, in Ireland, under British rule, they had great national schools. The one problem was they were basically forcing English education and English culture on Irish students. They were basically raising Irish students to be proper English gentlemen and an English lady. And, you know, and that's really troublesome. And something similar is going on here in America, too, where we have this concept of what, you know, a real American should be or what a real American curriculum should be. And that's very troublesome to me. Real American curriculum should be, to me, is giving everybody a chance to learn different points of view and be exposed to different cultures, arts, disciplines, and practices. And Sam's, I think we have a caller. Who's the caller?
Dave from Mequon is giving us a call.
Dave from Mequon. Top of the morning, Dave. What's
Good
on your
morning.
Mind? Good morning.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to circle back, I guess, to your question with downtown Waukesha.
Yes.
How people can get, you know, I guess more acquainted with it. I personally like downtown Waukesha. It reminds me a little bit of Cedarburg
in
some degree with the buildings and with the whole vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I do think one of the reasons why it's, I guess, it's not like forefront in everybody's mind is, I'll be honest with you, when people from where I live out in Ozaukee County, mm-hmm. or even from where my dad lives in downtown Milwaukee, they associate Brookfield as Waukesha. They don't want to associate the old downtown. And I think part of the problem is that there needs to be better marketing, I think, in that regards. And I think, obviously, unfortunately, the tragedy that just happened a few months ago with the parade certainly put the downtown on the map, so to speak, but in a negative light. And I do think it's a important issue that, especially there are a lot of small businesses, there has to be definitely a push to say, hey, listen, you know, there's old Waukesha, and for people to discover it, and how you go about trying to get that word out a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
That's a whole different conversation. But I do think it's wonderful. I always enjoy going there myself personally, and I think it's kind of like a hidden gem. It's a little Thank bit you. Of a secret, actually. Yeah. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Hey, Dave from Mequon, I really appreciate that. One, flattered that we're compared to Cedarburg, which we know is a great historic downtown. And two is, that perhaps there is a need to market the city, especially in the aftermath of the parade attacks. You know, it's rather unfortunate, but events like that also, they create a certain notoriety and people, you know, would come just to be curious. But you're absolutely right in that there's a great story to tell here, and I think there's opportunities. Well, I know the city's invested in it. I spoke about this yesterday, too, is I think there's some kind of conflicts with downtown businesses in terms of, you know, we don't have a bid here anymore, a business improvement district, and differences in how the city, how the downtown area should be promoted and how the downtown businesses can get an equal bite of the apple in terms of events like Friday Night Live and the farmers market. So there's a little bit more of a political backstory there that I'd love to explore that you may not be aware of in Mequon. But for sure, I believe there's tremendous opportunities in terms of telling the story of Waukesha throughout the metro Milwaukee area. So it does become a destination for folks out in Ozaukee. And I think there's great restaurants that for sure, like Tufty's Table and People's Park and others and Mainstream Grill, that I think merit the right for people to take, because I'll drive anywhere for great food if there's a really amazing place. And so, but thank you for sharing those thoughts, Dave. And I understand we have another caller coming.
We have Mark from the SAC calling.
Mark from the SAC, is that right? Mark from the SAC, what's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, it's Prairie du Sac, actually.
Prairie du Sac, okay, excellent.
Yeah, but you bring up Irish history, and I'm not Irish, though who knows, you know, that with my English ancestors that I think blended in there. But I mean, that reading a bit of history, that people, I don't think a lot of people remember that the Irish were considered very, you know, of course you would be an Irish mm-hmm. would probably know this from history, but considered really second-class citizens. I mean, that goes back to you know, when King Henry broke from the Church of formed the Church of England, and he was basically suppressing the Irish Catholics, and it, you know, went through Cromwell, and that in this country, I mean, look at the suspicions John Kennedy was under because he was Irish. He was Irish Catholic, and I don't know which part bothered them more, the Irish part or the Catholic part,
right,
that people were against in this country, and it touchstones into you know, folklore and American, you know, American culture, I guess, you know, for the movie Blazing Saddles, the famous line in there, who the townspeople would take, but they wouldn't take the Irish.
I mean, right.
It is just, you know, the whole idea that we're not going to teach that kind of history in our schools anymore because that's what, apparently that's what these people want, some of these people want. I mean, that they don't know what critical race theory really is, and that... And they don't recognize the fact that it exists because there was redlining, not necessarily for blacks here in America, but there's redlining also for Irish in this country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other groups. I mean, the Chinese Exclusion Act and Japanese Exclusion Acts and the suspicion of Eastern European immigrants, you know, during the great waves of immigration coming into this country. I mean, they faced, you know, that probably not as intense as a cultural backlash against them as African Americans have, but they certainly did face that. And why people do not want to recognize that in school here, in our schools, in our educational system, including people whose ancestry doesn't trace back to the Bloomin' Mayflower.
It's Mark from Prairie du Sac, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. Hey, thank you. We have to go to a break, but I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts. And stick around, because I want to respond to that, too. You gave us a lot of great things to talk about. So stick around, Mark, and everybody else. Don Brown Connect.